Let's call this meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:37 PM, Thursday, March 19, 2015. Presence today are Senator Stedman, Senator McKinnon is on the way, Senator Hoffman is out of town in district, Senator Egan is here present, and myself, Senator Bishop. We're, at that time of the year, we're double booked and doing double duty, so we're a little late kicking off, but we're, nonetheless, we're going now. So I'd like to recognize staff today, Christopher Dickrow, Senate Records, welcome, Chris. Cody Guzendorf, thank you. Senator McKinnon is here, and my committee staff are John Manley and Brittany Hutchison. You know the cell phone policy. Today's meeting, we will not be hearing SB 45 per request of the bill's sponsor. We will be hearing Senate Bill 13 by Senator Wilikowski regarding the warrantless search of electronic data for the first time. Then we'll be hearing again HB 70, Kramer's Field Refuge, by Representative Wool. If Senator Wilikowski and Ms. Evans would come up, put their name on the record and explain SB 13.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm a state senator. I represent East Anchorage and the Elmendorf side of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, and I appreciate the committee taking the time to hear this. I'll be very brief, and then I'm going to turn it over to Sarah Evans, who is an intern in my office. This is her first presentation, and she's going to give just a quick slide presentation. So in recent years, Alaskans and Americans have become very concerned about the federal government spying on American citizens. There's been reports of the National Security Agency, also known as the NSA, collecting mass amounts of data, emails, phone records. There are literally trillions of conversations and emails that they've collected in recent years. And so this bill is an attempt to push back against that. And what we hope to do is what we've done in recent years. Senator Coghill had a bill a couple of years ago. And what you try to do is you try to bleed the state participation from the federal government. And so we do that by prohibiting state or local governments from assisting in the federal data collection, assisting the federal data collection and surveillance agency. And that's a term of art that we've adopted. And what we're referring to is the NSA when we talk about that agency in the collection of electronic data or telephone records. There are about 17 other states that are looking at this type of legislation. There's a national movement. I think you'll hear from several people from who are very active in this national movement trying to prevent this. And we're happy to answer any questions. But if it's okay with you, Mr. Chairman, I would turn it over to my staffer now to address. We have proposed a CS. I believe you have that in front of you. We just in tweaking this as we gotten ramped up, we made some small changes on, and mostly it's to the definition of what the federal agency is. But if it's okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it over to Sarah Evans.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. Before we turn it over to her, does anyone have a question of the senator before we turn it over to Ms. Evans?
Do you want to,
Senator Stedman?
Mr. Chairman, when do you want to adopt a CS for a working document? Do you want to go through the original version first and then adopt it, or just adopt it right off the bat, or what's your preference?
If it's all right with the committee, I'd go ahead and we can adopt the CS, and then we can get right into it.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we go ahead and adopt for the CS for Senate Bill Number 13, Version W, as our working document.
Hearing, I'll object just for explanation.
And at this point, Mr. Chair, I'm going to have Ms. Evans go through and she'll explain what the bill does.
Thank you.
Yep.
For the record, members of the board, or members of the committee, my name is Sarah Evans and I'm an intern for Senator Wilikowski. The CS before you has very brief or very small changes in it that just helped us to define and narrow what we meant by a federal agency. So in the original version of the bill, anytime you saw the phrase federal agency, we now define it as a federal data collection or surveillance agency. You'll see that throughout the bill. and the new CS. And in Section 4, we've also added new paragraphs to read the definitions of electronic data and federal data collection and surveillance agency and what those definitions mean.
I don't know what that was, but...
The TV.
The TV, okay, great.
Okay, so go ahead with the...
Yes.
All right. Like I said, my name is Sarah Evans, work for Senator Wolakowski, and thank you for allowing me to speak on Senate Bill 13, Warrantless Search of Electronic Data. First, I'm going to give you a sectional analysis of Senate Bill 13 and some of the background on the NSA. In 2013, Alaska Governor Sean Parnell signed legislation into law prohibiting the state from assisting the federal government in the enforcement of law that violates the right to keep and bear arms. Senate Bill 13 amends the 2013 law to include a prohibition of state assistance to federal data collection and surveillance agencies. Section 1 of Senate Bill 13 provides that a home rule municipality may not adopt an ordinance inconsistent with provisions of Section 2 of the bill. Section 2 prohibits a municipality or an agent of a municipality from cooperating with federal data collection and surveillance agency in collecting electronic data without a search warrant or collecting telephone records without a warrant unless the collection is consistent with state law and from using such records in the criminal investigation or prosecution. Section 3 of Senate Bill 13 prohibits a state municipality agent from using state or municipal assets to aid in federal data collection and surveillance agency in the collection of electronic data without a search warrant or in the collection of telephone records without a warrant unless the collection is consistent with state law. Section 4 of Senate Bill 13 defines electronic data and federal data collection and surveillance agency. Section 5 prohibits the state or an agent of the state from cooperating with the federal data collection and surveillance agency in collecting data without a search warrant or collecting telephone records without a warrant unless the collection is consistent with state law and from using such records in a criminal investigation or prosecution. And finally, Section 6 provides that the bill has an immediate effective date. Now, Mr. Chair, I will go through a little background about the NSA. The NSA stands for National Security Agency. NSA is a U.S. intelligence agency responsible for the global monitoring, collecting, decoding, translation, and analysis of information and data for foreign intelligence and counterintelligence purposes. In 1952, President Harry Truman started the NSA to continue U.S. efforts that had led to breaking German and Japanese codes in World War II. So why should Alaskans be concerned about the NSA? The NSA collects every American's phone records, which I will get into later in my presentation. The PRISM program allows for the NSA to tap directly into the central servers of Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, Skype, YouTube, and others, extracting audio and video chats, photographs, emails, documents, and connection logs that enable analysis to track foreign targets. The NSA tracks phone locations around the world. This includes millions of Americans. They are able to do this through four major ways. First, when a cell phone is connected to a cellular network, the NSA can sweep the network and find a location. Also, when a mobile device connects to a Wi-Fi signal, you can locate a device down to the city block. Thirdly, GPS receivers are built into many cellular and satellite telephones, which can locate a device within a 100-meter radius or less. Finally, most mobile operators can track phones through triangulation off multiple towers, for example, to provide location-based emergency services. So a bit of a timeline of how the NSA came to be where it is now. In October of 2001, President Bush signed orders beginning NSA domestic spy program, which allowed the NSA to conduct a range of surveillance activities inside the U.S., which have been barred by law and agency policy for decades. President Bush said the program was aimed aimed at people with suspicious connections to Al-Qaeda and other aspects of the program or aid, not just at targeted individuals, but perhaps millions of innocent Americans never suspected of a crime. In 2006, the NSA maxed out the Baltimore area power grid, creating the potential for a virtual shutdown. Since then, under President Obama, the NSA aggressively expanded in states like Utah, Texas, Colorado, and elsewhere, generally focused on locations that can provide cheap and plentiful resources like water and power. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, also known as FISA, was amended and signed into law by President Bush in 2008. The amendment expanded the government's authority to monitor Americans' electronic communications. So now I'm going to talk about how phone spying works through the NSA. In 2003, an AT&T tech, Mark Klein, found fiber optic splitters inside a San Francisco-based AT&T facility behind a locked door that required both a physical key and a combination code to gain access to the room. In the room, AT&T allowed the NSA to install a sophisticated communication surveillance equipment. Basically, the communication equipment that they installed allowed for the government to have their own splitter off of the information that was going through the AT&T center. These splitters made exact copies of the data passing through them. So then one stream was directed right to the government, while the other stream was directed to the intended recipient, which you originally sent it to. This is visually shown on the graph on this slide. William Binney, a 30-year NSA veteran, estimated the NSA installed between 10 to 20 intercept centers within the United States. He also estimates NSA has collected between 15 to 20 trillion transactions from the general public over the past 11 years. This includes emails, phone calls, and texts. So how do we know that the NSA is doing this? In June of 2013, The Guardian published its first exclusive based on the leaks they received from an NSA employee, revealing a secret court order showing the U.S. government had forced the telecom giant Verizon to hand over phone records of millions of Americans. Next, The Guardian reveals a second story to the previously undisclosed program PRISM, which entails NSA document claims, gives the agency direct access to data held by Google, Facebook, Apple, and other U.S. giants. So what are other states in our nation doing to take action? While the NSA sometimes relies on material support, cooperation, and resources from state and local governments to carry out their mass surveillance programs, Senate Bill 13 is modeled after the Fourth Amendment Protection Act. The act rests on a widely legal practice known as anti-commandeering doctrine, which means the federal government cannot force states to carry out their acts or regulatory programs. In other words, if states don't want to participate, they don't have to. The map shows 17 states in our nation who have already introduced legislation to protect the U.S. citizen from the NSA warrantless data collection. That is the end of my presentation, and I will be happy to take questions.
Senator Studden?
Mr. Chairman, just one of the things that have been happening in Southeast, have had several more drug busts, and also dealing with child pornography. Would this have any impact on the ability of the long arm of the law in the state to monitor such drug and child pornography traffic that is lurking about on the web?
Sure. we worked actually with the Department of Law to try to stick the language in this bill so that things like that wouldn't happen. Our intent with this bill is to protect Alaskans' telephone records and electronic data from the National Security Agency. We don't believe this bill will prohibit police departments or state troopers from working with things like the FBI or other federal agencies, as long as they aren't involved in surveillance and involuntary bulk collection of storage of telephone records or electronic data.
Follow-up, Senator Stedman?
So the answer is won't affect.
Mr. Senator Stedman through the chair, that's absolutely not our intent. I'm aware of the concern. We are trying to craft language as tightly as possible so that we limit this to the NSA. I like you, share your concerns about the child pornography. We've seen presentations in this building about how they go after that information. And I know law enforcement has expressed some concerns over this bill. I think they're in your packet. We've reached out to them to try to address their concerns. We've worked with the Department of Law to address some of their concerns. I feel we have addressed those concerns. If there's further tweaking that needs to be made, I'm happy to engage in that. We've modeled our language of who this applies to based on similar laws which are moving in Utah and Texas, and have that's why we changed the definition of who this applied to from federal agencies to federal data collection and surveillance agencies. And so that's not the intent, and so if there's any ambiguity and a court is listening one day, I don't believe they would be able to say this applies, because we're saying very clearly on the record that it doesn't to the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Senator McKinney?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would point out in the packet that if there's been a change of opinion from the Alaska Association of Chief of Police that are expressing their opposition to the bill, as well as the Alaska Peace Officers Association, and unanimously opposed the bill. And if I've read it correctly, as the senator has stated, it's in an effort to, as one law enforcement officer to another agency, that they want to, for lack of a better use of words, have each other's back and be able to support each other as they try to keep people safe. Senator Wilikowski, I actually did a lot of research on this bill, too, specifically in the state of Alaska, and met with multiple carriers. Because we won't support them, and I know we can't do all things with all bills, but what I found out was that unlike the lower 48, who there are centralized hubs, Alaska has multiple hubs because we don't interconnect like the rest of the state does. Did you find that out in your research, too? And then when I met specifically with AT&T and GCI and our carriers, they told me, at least my takeaway was, whatever I did, they couldn't stop a federal warrant from coming in and forcing them to do that. And when I asked them to try to tip their hat and tell me, well, could you tell me if you've been asked to do that, they said they couldn't, that there were people awake somewhere in Florida at some server location where all these transactions are happening. And that if we were involved in those transactions and the federal government came in warrant or warrantless, that they would still be required as a private entity to provide that information.
Thank you for the question, Senator, through the chair. This bill does not address private companies, and we are in this bill addressing the behavior and actions of state and local communities and governments. So what we're saying is state, local, home rule communities can't participate. They can't be an active participant. They can't financially participate. But if the federal government does go out and get a warrant, then there's nothing that we can do to stop that, quite frankly. And we actually think that's fair. We think that's that's what we're giving to law enforcement. The letters of opposition to this bill were written before the changes that we made. We've reached out to them after the changes, and I think they still oppose it because they would like free rein to communicate as widely and broadly as possible, and I respect that. But at some point, we have to make a policy call and protect the personal and private information of the citizens of Alaska.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Wilikowski, I applaud your effort and certainly support what's been said. Mr. Chairman, I'll be looking forward to hearing from our Department of Law and understanding, because the first thing that came to my mind as Senator Wilikowski expressed is the pornography and children that are being lured by online solicitations, and whether that will somehow put those kids in harm's way.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Wilikowski, or Sarah, either one, Ms. Evans, can you describe for the committee again to me the process by which the federal agency would obtain a search warrant that would be valid under the provisions of this bill?
Mr. Chair, Our bill, as written, does not change the way a federal agency would obtain a warrant. We're just saying that before a state or a state or municipal agent can assist them in getting this information, they must get a warrant. So they'd have to go through the same protocols they always had. NSA goes through the FISA court to get their warrant, so it'd just be the same as always.
So nothing changes?
No, sir.
Just wanted to hear it again. Thank you. Okay. If there's no other questions, we need to adopt. Yes, we adopted it, so I'm going to...
Just remove your objection.
I just removed my objection. So now we're going to go to online, and we have public comment. We're going to take some public comment. Also online, we have Ledge Legal here in Juneau, Enterprise Tech Services with the Department of Administration. We have some people out of state and from Kentucky and Washington, D.C. online, and Stuart Thompson from the Mat Su. So let's go to Stuart Thompson in the Mat Su borough, and he's representing himself. Stuart Thompson, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Could you put your name and on the record and where you're from and
all that necessary preamble. I can do so.
Yes.
Here it comes. I salute the chairman and members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. I am Stuart Thompson, a citizen residing in Senator Huggins' district. I shall testify in support of SB 13 on behalf of myself and posterity. Start of my 3-minute prepared testimony. SB 13 is a fine demonstration of commitment to honoring the legislator oath of office, and it deserves vigorous passage into law. Why? It utilizes the wisdom of U.S. founding fathers in providing checks on federal government abuse of power, and it enforces the privacy provision of the Alaska Constitution, your sworn duty. That the federal government is abusing power by subordinating the supreme law of our constitutions to the history-long gimmick of protecting people is in gross evidence all around us. Our country at its founding was threatened with more powerful and effective terrorists and unfriendly nations than at any time past or present. Yet they, in the face of real widespread danger, not hype stuff now vomited out by the media and special interest-run national security bozos, chose to safeguard privacy and citizen freedom from unreasonable search and seizure. They knew that the greatest fraud constantly perpetrated on people is forcing them to render unsupervised trust to government, and that granting more power to government when it has proven incompetent with what it already has is insane. Why is it that U.S. national security infrastructure now clearly spends more money and effort spying and maintaining surveillance on Americans than potential foreign enemies? And how can they sanely justify using such heavy surveillance techniques when all the foreign-based conflicts and sufferings inflicted on America in the last 40 years have completely resulted from gross incompetence at collecting and using intelligence? For our so-called protection, somehow every American has now become a potential enemy of the U.S., warranting turning our whole country into a virtual concentration camp. Please face how history testifies that the most effective form of government for simply providing security and safety for people has always been slavery. Do you know why the frequent apology for illegal citizen surveillance, that if you're doing nothing wrong, it doesn't matter, is claptrap? Unsupervised surveillance of people who are doing nothing wrong is a time-honored feature of slavery. It's part of what slavery means, for God's sake. Executive branch surveillance based on warrants that are specifically targeted as supervised by required authorization from the judicial branch for cause is the historically proven solution to enable rational surveillance and investigation. It's a sign of a has-been nation to abandon its political heritage and time-proven procedures and encourage citizen cowardice and ignorance instead. This naturally enables violence, threat, and lying to rule supreme. That is what the federal government is doing right now under the influence of mad dog special interests. Please help rein in this insanity by passing SB 13. If the There are no questions. Good luck on your deliberations. I'll fax in this testimony to ease your use of it.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson, and thank you for respecting our 3 minutes. We're not, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Okay, next we have Catherine Strasberg here in Juneau with Ledge Legal. Do you have any comments?
I'm just, Mr. Chairman, Catherine Strasberg, I'm just standing by to answer any questions that might arise.
Okay. Thank you. Questions only. Okay, so that takes us up now to some folks online in the continental United States. So Michael Mahari from Lexington, Kentucky, are you online, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
And if I know I didn't pronounce your last name, but we'll get it correctly when you introduce yourself for the record.
Well, you were very close. My name is Michael Mahari, and I'm the National Communications Director for the 10th Amendment Center, and I'm calling from Lexington, Kentucky.
Thank you. Please go ahead and continue.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of SB 13. Last year, the Alaska Senate passed a powerful resolution condemning NSA spying and proclaiming that the Alaska State Legislature will not assist the federal government by facilitating programs that are tyrannical in nature. The resolution also called on the federal government to end mass warrantless collection of electronic data. Here we are another year down the road, and Congress still hasn't taken the first step to stop unconstitutional spying. In 1975, Senator Frank Church warned us about the U.S. surveillance state, saying that it had the potential for, quote, total tyranny, unquote. Let that sink in for a moment. That was 40 years ago. If the potential for total tyranny existed in 1975, where are we today? And yet Congress still has not taken any action in 40 years. That is why it is imperative that the Alaska legislature take the next step, heed the words of last year's Senate resolution, and end state assistance to unwarranted federal surveillance. SB 13 is the appropriate next step. In 2013, Governor Sean Parnell signed a bill into law that prohibits the state from cooperating with federal implementation or enforcement of certain programs that infringe on a person's right to keep and bear arms, the right to due process, or that would aid in the implementation of the Federal Real ID Act. SB 13 expands this unchallenged state law to cover our natural right to privacy. Alaska law enforcement has expressed opposition to SB 13, saying it could reduce cooperation with federal law enforcement agencies. The amended language that we just approved should eliminate any concerns voiced by law enforcement. Continued opposition amounts to an admission that they know, or at least suspect, that they are cooperating with agencies engaged in illegal, unconstitutional surveillance. Otherwise, they would have nothing to oppose because the law would never have to be implemented. The refusal to cooperate only applies to bulk warrantless surveillance. If the feds aren't doing this, then law enforcement has nothing to worry about. The committee should be aware that we know from documents obtained by Reuters that the NSA regularly passes information to police through a formerly secret DEA unit known as the Special Operations Division. These cases rarely involve national security issues. Almost all of the information relates to regular criminal investigations. Documents also revealed that the feds encourage state and local police to create what they call parallel investigations that hides the actual source of the illegally collected data. Former NSA Technical Chief William Binney called this practice, quote, the most threatening situation to our constitutional republic since the Civil War, unquote. Perhaps that explains continued law enforcement opposition, or perhaps they simply fear that rocking the apple cart will jeopardize federal grants, asset forfeiture money, or access to military surplus equipment. Either way, we should not sacrifice the most basic privacy rights in the altar of cooperation. Today, you have the opportunity to do what Congress has failed to do for 40 years, protect the privacy of Alaskans, preserve the Fourth Amendment, and help rein in an unaccountable and out-of-control federal spy agency. I urge you to vote yes for SB 13, and I thank you very much for the time to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions for anybody from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to our next lower 48 individual, Shahid Buttar, Washington, D.C., Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Are you there, sir?
I am, Senator. Thanks for having me on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And again, I apologize as well for...
No worries. I know how it is. My name is Shahid Buttar. I run the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. We're a national nonprofit grassroots organizing network mobilizing roughly 50,000 Americans from across the political spectrum and from every walk of life in every state across the country around constitutional rights that have been undermined in the last 15 years. And I'm here just to make a few points in particular in favor of the bill. The first is foundationally, I've heard a lot of reference to your constituents' information. I want to be more pointed about this. We're talking about their freedom of thought, ultimately, because what mass surveillance, untethered from individual suspicion, presents is the opportunity for the state to arbitrarily target people based on a retrospective record that they need not even go up and collect. It obviates the very need for traditional searches, and it changes intelligence from being a foreign-facing enterprise to being one that faces the United States. My colleague Michael Meharry referenced Senator Frank Church. Another figure that was very outspoken about this kind of dynamic was former President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who the Supreme Allied Commander in World War II. These are American patriots who've been concerned for decades about the rising domestic control power of agencies that presumably keep us safe. And unfortunately, this will have that mandate. I understand that public safety and the rights, for instance, of children are a concern. That's obviously important, crucial. I just want to point out here that, as in the national security context, piling more hay on the stack does not help find the needle. And any investigator or, quite frankly, law enforcement agent worth their salt will note the legitimacy for traditional policing, investigative work, as opposed to the kind of Stasi approach or the Russian, sort of Soviet approach, or just collect it all, essentially intimidate people from having potentially independent thoughts, chill speech in the overzealous exercise of securing a public safety that can be much better secured by real investigations and the kind of work that we pay law enforcement agencies to do. I want to briefly touch on the history of duplicity underlying these powers. At every point in the chain, executive officials at the federal level have lied to Congress about, for instance, whether these programs existed, the scope of these programs, and the extent to which they ensnare Americans, the reasons for their use, which is to say national security versus drug investigations, even in discrete trial, the origin of evidence. This is also a personal parallel construction piece that Mike raised. I want to respect your time. I'm not sure that I'm out of a few minutes, but please, if that beep was there, I want to respect it.
Thank you for your testimony. Seeing no question from the committee. General, I see you're here for questions only, or did you want to bring something up and add to the discussion?
Myself and Ms. Schroeder are here for questions.
Thank you. Okay. All right, I'm going to close public comment. And seeing no do I see any further questions for the committee today? Seeing none, pardon me, I'm going to set this bill aside. Thank you. And Ms. Evans, you did a good job
on
your presentation. We're going to take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. In case there are any new visitors or people listening in, I want to reiterate one more time that we are not going to hear SB 45 today per the request of the bill sponsor. So with that, we have Representative Wohl is back before us today with HB 70, and he's here with David Dunsmore, his staff. And any closing comments, anything else you'd like to say? I just want to throw a question right out there. Can you guarantee us that this is accurate on the description this time?
Mr. Chairman, this is David Dunsmore, Chief of Staff to Representative Wohl. We've had both the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Fish and Game review each version of this, and they've assured us that the current version is accurate. In fact, they said the previous version was accurate, but this writing is not the version that was passed last year, but our previous work draft they had assured was accurate, but they gave us ways to make it even more clear, and we've every step in the process where they've given that we've worked that in. So they've assured us that they're confident in it, and I'm confident in their work.
Okay, and I
and Mr. Chairman, your staff had asked me to be available to, if you desire to be able to walk the committee through which particular pieces of land are described in this bill, so I'm available to do that if you'd like.
Would the committee like to do that? What's the will of the committee?
Motion to move the bill.
Senator Steadman?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we move CS for House Bill 70, Version E, to the next committee referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, the bill moves to the next committee of referral. I think it goes to Judiciary next. Thank you. Any more action to come before the committee today? We're adjourned at 4:15.